relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
This is your daily public service update. Aquarium cleaner is not a medicine. In case you doubted it, I know you didn't because you're listening to America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald Trump, and this is the Salem Radio Network. We have so much to cover. I'm going to try and break my rules and go to some calls in a moment. But first, some very, very important news. Number one, a daily record has been broken by the Dow. The president wants us back at work as a nation by Easter, and we have a 2,112-point increase in the Dow in just one day. Truly, truly stunning. Let's also listen to the impressive figures from the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, who was on the show last week. This is from today's White House virtual town hall with the president, with Dr. Birx, with the vice president and the Surgeon General, hosted by Fox. These are the key numbers that should make everybody have a positive perspective on how we are breaking the back of the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus. Cut. Four.
I think there are a couple of important things for the American people to remember. The first one is that when you look at the data here in the United States, of all the people who we've tested so far, only about 90% of those, 90% of those folks do not have the coronavirus. They test negative. So most people, even when they have cold and flu symptoms, do not have coronavirus, number one. Number two, 98-99% of people are recovering. So people need to understand that yes, some people will get coronavirus in many communities across America, but that most of them will recover. That's very important for people to understand.
Incredible figures. I'm going to add one that wasn't in that cut. So first things first, 90% of those who think they have the coronavirus and are tested for it don't have it. They have flu symptoms. They don't have the coronavirus. Of those who test positive, 98% fully recover. Stunning figures. And then lastly, later on in that town hall, the president actually asked Dr. Birx to repeat this. It was such an incredibly impressive figure. The United States has tested in the last 8 days more people for coronavirus than South Korea tested in 8 weeks. That's what we are capable of doing. That's American know-how and application. One more audio cut, and then we're going to go to your calls. I'd like you to pay attention to this audio cut about what the president is doing. He's made a decision. The cure cannot be worse than the disease. This was Bill Hemmer challenging the president, and the president being very clear about his goal for you, the American people, and our nation. It's a longer audio cut, but it's an important one from today's virtual town hall. Bill Hemmer with President Trump, cut three.
When they said, Mr. President, we got to shut this down, how hard did you push back?
Well, I'll tell you, I never heard of such a thing. We've had flus where we lose 36,000. We've lost as many, I guess, as 78,000 people in 1 year. And they came in and they said to me, sir, we're going to have to close the country. I said, what are you talking about? Well, we have a virus. It's coming in. And I knew that. And I made the early decision with China. So I already closed it off to China. And that was a long time before they came in. But they came in, experts, and they said, we're going to have to close the country. I said, we've never closed the country before. This never happened before. Are you serious about this? We are going to take this country that's fully employed, where we have 160 million people working, and you're telling me we have to close it, and people are going to go out of business, and they're going to go bankrupt, and they're not going to have jobs? What are we talking about here? Don't forget, this has never been done. We've had flus before. We've had viruses before. So this is something new. And this is why I say we have to. I gave it 2 weeks. And you know, I guess by Monday or Tuesday, it's about 2 weeks. And we'll assess at that time. And we'll give it some more time if we need a little more time. But we have to open this country
up. When they came to you and had that conversation with you, how long did it take you to accept that new reality?
Well, I accept things. I understand things very quickly. I mean, I understood exactly what they were saying. But we can socially distance ourselves and go to work, and you'll have to work a little bit harder. You can clean your hands 5 times more than you used to. You won't be shaking hands for at least a while. And things will happen, but we have to put the country to work. Look, you're going to lose a number of people to the flu. But you're going to lose more people by putting a country into a massive recession or depression. You're going to lose people. You're going to have suicides by the thousands. You're going to have all sorts of things happen. You're going to have instability. You can't just come in and say, let's close up the United States of America, the biggest, the most successful country in the world by far.
When the president makes his decision, this is a tweet from Scott Adams, and I completely agree with it. When the president makes that decision, whether it's Easter, whether it's before Easter, whether it's after Easter, when he makes that decision for America to go back to work, it's not going to be a health decision exclusively. And it's definitely not going to be a political decision. It's going to be a commander in chief making the decision on what is best for our country. The equation will be concluded in a way that the least damage is done. And President Trump is exactly the right person to make that decision. Let's go to your calls, waiting very, very patiently from Los Angeles, our buddy Brent, line 3. Welcome, Brent.
Greetings, Grand Gorka. Thank you so much for what you're doing. It's just so, you're just saving our country and our world. I just have so much appreciation for what you're doing. But I wanted to say, Pontius Pilate Pelosi and her grotesque green gangsters prove yet again that they are not motivated by healing and medicine, but by horrifying megalomania. And even now, they are promoting their desire for the death of babies more than the health of humanity. And in the time it took for 250 people to die in America from the flu, Planned Parenthood has killed 25,000 babies.
Right.
And the transgender terrorists are demanding that their castrations continue unabated, offended that hospitals are calling it an elective surgery and not a medical necessity.
Right. I love what you said there. The green gangsters, Pelosi, Pilate Pelosi's green gangsters, that's what they are. We're trying to save the nation. The president has a plan. And they actually, in her 1,000-page bill, which is her own bill, she has a whole subtitle on the Green New Deal. It's unconscionable, my friend. Thank you so much for your kind comments. We're just here to give you the facts, give you the news, and give you the reliable sources that you need right now at this troubling, troubling time. God bless you, Brent. Let's go to another good friend of the show. Let's go to New Jersey. Let's go to Leonardo, line 4. Welcome, Leonardo.
Dr. Gorka, an incredible show today. I have to say before the political stuff that your compassionate side, where you really embraced that woman that was having such a hard time and talked to her off air.
Lori,
Katie and the kids, they definitely got a great leader and father for your family. I just wanted to say that.
Just don't tell anybody I'm a softie. Just, Leonardo,
I know,
you and 2 million people, don't tell them, okay?
And so's the Donald. So's our president.
Yes!
He has that compassionate side. And the ladies in his family, they're evidence of it. I mean, anybody that is rational. But
how are you and your loved ones doing, Leonardo?
I am much richer than this morning as of 4 o'clock. Like, it's unbelievable.
2,112 points on the Dow in one day.
Right. I've always been incredibly frugal, military trained, and, you know, the Boy Scout. I got more toilet paper than I'll ever need. And
you're the hoarder. It's you. That's why I don't have toilet paper. It's Leonardo.
It's my fault. But blame me. Please, you can blame me. Don't blame the president for that. You know?
Never.
Because they blame him for everything else. But this lady, the Wicked Witch of the West, she just flies in on her broom. I thought it was very selfless of her to say that part of what she needs to put in there is to lower emissions on her broom for when, you know. But also
her private jet broom, right?
Right. And also the somehow they managed to bring in the Planned Parenthood financing and killing more people. Like
the Kennedy Center, the U.S. Right. Post Office, it's insane. I am glad to hear that now we have an explanation for who has all the toilet paper. But, Leonardo, I love that line from yesterday's press conference when Attorney General Barr said, if you're hoarding toilet paper, it's okay, don't worry. But if you're hoarding medical equipment, you can expect that knock on the door. Don't mess with the honey badger. The Kraken is out there. God bless you all. You are the best. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Back with your calls here on America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Don't touch that dial.
Well, I think the Dow was helped by the fact that they, you know, there were theories that we were going to stay out for 4 or 5 months, and you can't do that. You'd destroy our country if you did a thing like that. And we're going to be opening relatively soon. Our time comes up on Monday or Tuesday, our, you know, the allotted 2 weeks, but we'll stay a little bit longer than that. But we want to get open very soon. I think that was a big reason it's gone up. We're opening up this incredible country because we have to do that. I'd love to have it open by Easter. Okay, I would love to have it open by Easter. I will tell you that right now. I would love to have that. It's such an important day for other reasons, but I'll make it an important day for this too. I would love to have the country opened up and just raring to go by Easter.
That's the president earlier today saying we need to get back to business. America needs to resurrect by Easter. And what happens? The Dow explodes. 2,112 points in the last time I looked at it, which is a record in one day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. That's the definition of leadership. But we need to address what the left is still doing, how they wanted to pack their socialist ideological pork demands into that aid bill. Why? Because they don't care about you. They care about their vision, their power. They want to have federal control over elections in a coronavirus aid package? What's that going to do with ballot harvesting? Unless you're a crooked, crooked politician like Nancy Pelosi. I want to play a video cut right now that we've been trying to play for since, I think, Friday. Okay? Now, it's superb. It comes from our buddy Charlie Kirk at Turning Point USA. It's from one of his campus events. And I play this now because this is what the goal is in the long term, whether it's impeachment, whether it's Russia collusion, whether it's the Ukraine call, whether it's the coronavirus. What they wish to create is socialist control. And how do you deal with that? Here's a masterful little video clip on how you deal with those poor snowflakes who have been indoctrinated. This is Charlie Kirk of that superb organization, Turning Point USA. Eric, play video.
Capitalism is a deadly vampire that feasts on the blood of the working class.
Capitalism is a deadly vampire that feasts on the blood of the working class.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
for me?
I don't really want to right now, but
do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
So you're feasting on the blood of the working class. How dare you?
Yeah, I know.
How do you feel about that?
We all have to do the best that we can.
No, you don't. Why don't you go live on a farm and not use the fruits of the working class and just be a socialist with your friends? Why use the fruits of the free market? Isn't that kind of hypocritical?
No, because the free market is so pervasive, we have, no choice but to live.
No, like I said, you could go live on a farm by yourself, like the Amish do, or like socialists in Vermont do, but yet you choose to live in a free market society and benefit from it, and use the heat and the light and the well-being and the medicine and the food all as a byproduct of a market-based society.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love it, but...
Oh, you love it, but you said it's a vampire sucking the blood of the working class, so isn't that a little... contradictory? See, here's the thing. No one's preventing you from living like a socialist. You can go do that. But your worldview would prevent me from living like an entrepreneur or like a capitalist. So inherently, your ideology is built on control of other people's choices. Ours is built on freedom. If you want to go live like a socialist, I have no problem with that. You can go start your own socialist colony in rural Utah, buy your own land and share your own water and share your own food. That's what's so amazing about voluntary societies. Whereas what you talk about is a coercive society. Right. I don't have that freedom to live how I want to live under the worldview that you espouse. And I think that's immoral.
That is Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA nailing it. The little socialist snowflake saying, oh, well, I have no choice. I have to use an iPhone. Oh, you have a choice. Go and live on a socialist commune. Oh, but no. Socialism for me, socialism for thee. I'm the elite. I get to choose. They are internally incoherent, and that's why we're here, to point out the hypocrisy of what they wish to do. They preach socialism. What does Bernie do? Get caught flying on his private jet. That's who they are. Let's squeeze in one more call. Let's go to Brooklyn, line two. Viviana, welcome to America First. Are you there, Viviana? So sad. We lost Viviana. In the meantime, let me thank you for all your support for the Food for the Poor campaign. We're struggling. I get it. No toilet paper. Some people have been put on the unemployment rolls. But what if this was life? What if it weren't just temporary? What if the store shelves were always empty? That's what we're trying to help here. In Guatemala, in our hemisphere, we have the highest malnutrition rate for children. That's appalling. It's the Easter season. If you're okay, if you can give back, now's the time. Thank you for those who've already donated tens of thousands of dollars. Go to my website. I'm not going to say anything. Just watch the videos up there of the starving children that you are helping, and then make a donation in any amount at all. It doesn't matter. We will combine it. But think of this. $27 a month provides food for a family of four for the whole month, food and clean drinking water. $80, thanks to what Food for the Poor have already done, provides clean drinking water and food for a hungry child for a whole year. That's remarkable. And it's all thanks to you. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner and make a donation today. You can call them if you prefer on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. You, wherever you are, can make a difference today. Be a modern missionary. So, what do we have to know? We have to remember what we heard today. The president wants to get us back on our feet. He wants to have a solution that will not hurt the nation more than the virus. That's his decision to make. That's why we elected him, the commander-in-chief, to make that decision. It's about our security, and we mustn't damage the patient more than the disease would. Remember the Hippocratic Oath, part one. First, do no harm. Don't harm the patient more than the actual threat, in this case, the coronavirus, Chinese Wuhan disease would. Then the incredible figures, I reiterate them because they are so reassuring. Share them with your friends, your family. We in America have tested more people in the last 8 days than South Korea did, this model of how to deal with it, than South Korea did in 8 weeks. God bless all of the people who are part and parcel of that testing. And then what were the results of the tests? 90% of those people who presented themselves with flu-like conditions for coronavirus testing did not have the virus. 90%. And of those who did, 98% fully recovered. That's what America can do. I know it's tough right now. We got to hold the line, but we will come out the other side of this. And I believe we'll come out stronger than when we went in. Next here on America First, famous sportscaster Clay Travis. Whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Well, I think the Dow was helped by the fact that they, you know, there were theories that we were going to stay out for 4 or 5 months, and you can't do that. You'd destroy our country if you did a thing like that. And we're going to be opening relatively soon. Our time comes up on Monday or Tuesday, the allotted 2 weeks, but we'll stay a little bit longer than that. But we want to get open very soon. I think that was a big reason it's gone up. We're opening up this incredible country because we have to do that. I'd love to have it open by Easter. Okay, I would to have it open by Easter. I will tell you that right now. I would love to have that. It's such an important day for other reasons, but I'll make it an important day for this too. I would love to have the country opened up and just raring to go by Easter.
I would love us to be back at work Easter time. Time of resurrection, how apposite. That was the president early today from his remarkable Rose Garden open session with the vice president, with the surgeon general, with Dr. Birx, taking questions from across the nation. As he tweeted just this morning, our people want to return to work. They will practice social distancing and all else, and seniors will be watched over protectively and lovingly. We can do two things together. The cure cannot be worse by far than the problem. Congress must act now. We will come back strong. Somebody who's been echoing exactly that sentiment, and we try to always broaden the aperture here of America First. We are the newest national radio show in the United States, but we don't get everybody's audience. But somebody who has a huge audience out there, he is with OutKick.com and Fox Sport Radio. He's a friend of America First. Clay Travis, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, man.
So let's look at, you know, the different demographics, the different audiences. I'm so curious. You have a very powerful brand out there. You are a name in a different kind of sphere than ours here. It's not just politics. It's sports and many other things. What are you getting back from your listeners? What is your audience telling you about the last 9 days that we've been through on lockdown in this country?
I think the primary emotion, more so than any other, is just fear and uncertainty. And I think that's because this is a virus that people are not comfortable with. And so what I tried to do over the last 9 or 10 days is give people a better understanding of this virus. And in particular, I think there are two things that are still very important that we haven't nailed down. And those two things are, one, what is the death rate, right? Because people worry about worst case scenarios. So if I'm going to make a decision to walk outside my door, and get in my car, I need to know that chances are I'm going to be able to drive to work. Not that I'm 100% going to make it. Things can go awry, but I need to know that 99.9% of the time I'm going to be fine. And then the second part is, what is the overall contagion rate? And those are two things that I think we need to really get nailed down. But let's talk about the first part as a preliminary. In general, what we have done is establish that the death rate for this is no worse than 0.7 or 0.8% of all people, regardless of age, who contract it. Now, obviously, older people have a worse outcome than younger people, but we're talking about 99.3 or 99.2% of all people at the absolute worst in America who get this virus are going to die. Now, as a larger preliminary, we know also that there is a huge percentage of people that this kind of intersects with in the world of my universe, which is sports. Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell are both really big name NBA players, and they tested positive in an asymptomatic fashion. And so there are an awful lot of people out there who think they have a cold, who have a light fever, and maybe don't have any symptoms at all, and never go receive any sort of treatment. So the reality is, we're talking about a death rate for this virus, which is probably closer to 0.3 or 0.4 at the most, and that still might be high. Now, it appears to be a virus that is very prevalent. There are lots of people who are catching it, and there may be lots of people who need hospital treatment when they're of a certain age or they have immune systems that are susceptible to illness. But the actual numbers, you know, when you start to dive into them, we're not talking about a virus that initially we thought out of China might kill, you know, 3, 4, 5% of all people that it infected. That is beyond a shadow of a doubt not true.
Yes, we have the audio from earlier today with that town hall meeting or virtual town hall meeting from the Rose Garden, where the Surgeon General stated the incredible fact, incredible, that of the people who have been tested in America, 90% who were tested didn't have the coronavirus.
Yeah, right.
Secondly, we have tested more people in America in 8 days than South Korea did in 8 weeks. And then lastly, and this is the point that you're getting to, the incredible stat that of the people who caught it, only 2% or less have actually died, which is incredible. Could be less, could be 1%, because we don't know how many, the broad sweep of how many have been infected. So we are breaking this virus. Our guest right now is Clay Travis. Follow him on Twitter at Clay Travis of Outkick.com and Fox Sports Radio. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. My friends, let me give you a choice. If you're suffering from daily pain like I was for so many years, try a substance that is natural, has no negative side effects, and doesn't mask your pain like regular synthetic painkillers, but attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. Relief Factor has rid me of my lower back pain. And then when I had my knee surgery almost a month ago, I got off those wicked, wicked, wicked painkillers as fast as I could. And now I don't take any of them. Relief Factor, the 3-week quick starter pack, just $19.95. Try it right now and see why tens of thousands of Americans are getting liberated from their daily pain with ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com, you deserve to be the next success story. Back with Clay Travis next.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back, my friends. And we have Clay Travis with us on the line of Fox Sports Radio, Outkick.com. Follow him right now, if only just for his Twitter input, because he has a pretty mean Twitter game, at Clay Travis. Clay, thank you for joining us again. There is something interesting going on, not just in the Twitterverse, but in politics as general. I don't know if you saw this. There's this clearly very liberal author. She's got books published. I think she's a doctor or maybe a PhD like me. And she tweeted this yesterday as a lifelong Democrat. She said, "I have never voted for someone who was not a Democrat in my life. That streak will end in November. I'm beyond angry about what they are doing. This is not about the well-being of workers. This is taking advantage of a crisis. It's unconscionable. I can't wait for them to lose. Clay, do you think that's a one-off, or do you think Americans across the nation are waking up to those on Capitol Hill who think the death of Americans and a global pandemic is something that they should exploit to their own political profit?
Look, I think we're going to have a 50-50 election no matter what happens.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, between now and November, so many different things will happen. And ultimately, I know everybody wants to have this idea that there's going to be some dramatic unveiling and that there's going to be a major, realignment or something like that. I believe that ultimately what will happen is the election is going to come down to what people in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin, the Big Ten states,
yes,
if you're a college football fan, or a college sports fan, the Midwestern Big Ten Conference states are going to decide the election. I think so many of these states are already written in stone, right? You know, that I understand people are going to say, oh, Trump's in danger in Texas, or Trump's in danger in Georgia, or things like that. That's not true. Look, I think when it ultimately comes down to it, the Democrats are going to win the states we expect them to win. The Republicans are going to win the states we expect them to win. And then it's going to come down to the Midwest. That's what I've been saying for a while. I don't think this coronavirus crisis is going to last that long. I know you played the tape of Trump saying he hopes people are back to work by April, by Easter. I tend to think that this thing is going to, if you look at what happened to China, and if you look at what happened in the other Asian countries, and even what has started to happen in Europe, this thing is, it burns bright, but it doesn't necessarily burn long. And so I think by the time we're into, you know, July and August, this will have been a distant memory. I hope it doesn't reemerge in the fall and into the winter, as flu often does, or other diseases of that nature. But I tend to think that by the time we get into the full-on campaign season, September, October, November, that it's going to be this will be a part of the argument that Donald Trump makes, because I think we're going to emerge as a country stronger from having fought this battle with this disease than before. But I still think it's going to be a tight election regardless. So it's so far, so far until the election actually ends up happening. And think about all the crazy stories that will emerge between now and the election before all is said and done.
That really is not what I expected. We're talking to Clay Travis. Follow him on Twitter, at Clay Travis. Because, look, there is this cliche, Clay, that all elections are one in the middle. They're not one in the extremes. You've got to convince the heartland. You've got to convince people who aren't like you and me, Clay, people who really don't follow politics closely, just want to make sure they can make their car payment at the end of the month. You don't think that constituency is going to say, hang on a second, in the middle of a corona Chinese Wuhan virus, the Democrats trying to get $35 million for the Kennedy Center Art Center is just not going to piss them off?
Well, look, I just don't know how much that stuff matters.
Okay.
In terms of lasting, right? I think people like you and I and people who are plugged into the political universe pay attention to it. Maybe it ends up being in an attack ad that runs in October or November. But I just think, for better or worse, voters in this day and age have incredibly short memories.
Yes.
And so, if this were happening in September, I would be like, oh, I think this could be a significant part of the overall campaign.
In which direction? I'm curious. If this were happening in September, which way would it push the needle in your expectation?
Yeah, I tend to think, first of all, this would be a lot more troubling because we should keep election, the polls open. I mean, we voted
yes.
in the Civil War, in the middle of the Civil War. We
Correct.
Voted in the middle of World War II. We voted in the 1918 flu pandemic, literally as it was killing 650,000 Americans across the country. So I think the idea of shutting down the polls would be crazy, but that would be a huge point of discussion. But I tend to think that anytime there is crisis, the average American rallies to stand behind the president
yes.
still, even in this time of turmoil that we live in now. So much like you saw after 9/11 with George W. Bush, when his approval rating soared, remember that was very early in his tenure as president.
Correct.
I think when there is a crisis afoot, then it benefits the president, assuming it's not a disaster, right? Like you know, Jimmy Carter and the Iran-Contra affair, things like that. But if you're doing a decent to good job, I think the American public tends to rally around you. And I think now when you look at the amount of testing we've got out and everything else, and I think you compare our performance to many other countries around the world that are also democracies, I think we have acquitted ourselves fairly well, both from the presidential level and all through the scientists and everybody else who is advising the doctors who are out here advising American policymakers.
Very, very sound analysis. We don't rehearse any of this. We do it on the fly. But with guests like Clay Travis, it is so much fun. Follow him at Clay Travis on Twitter, Outkick.com, and Fox Sports Radio. Keep doing what you do, my friend, and keep busy on that Twitter machine. I'm Sebastian Gorka.
I will, my man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Remember the figures you heard. 90% of those who were tested did not have the virus, and 98% of those who did have the virus came through it and were not killed by this invisible enemy. Those are very, very good figures. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, what Pete and Seth Talbot, the incredible father and son team behind this product, have done is really bring relief to everyday Americans who are suffering with pain. It started as a mission for somebody in their family who was suffering and who tried everything else, and it worked. The ingredients of the Relief Factor, resveratrol, curcumin, and omega-3s, attack the source of your pain. They don't mask it. They don't hide it like synthetic painkillers. Look at the incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com from Americans across the country, and then understand why myself, my Salem fellow faculty members, people of such renown as Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, and Larry Elder, all wholeheartedly support this incredible product. Then order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That works out to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing except potentially relief and liberation from your daily pain. In my case, it was a low back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. And then after my knee operation, I trebled my dose of Relief Factor because it worked. And I didn't want to take those very, very heavy-duty prescription painkillers. Find out if it could work for you. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Don't hesitate. You deserve to be the next success story. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. As the president says, what have you got to lose?
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
You heard the president's own words today. He wants us back in business. He wants America back in business by Easter. What does that mean? It means for the next 6 days, we must continue to stick to his guidelines for the 15 days to stop the spread. If you aren't familiar, the president reiterated it, the vice president reiterated it yesterday at his very lengthy press conference and again today. So here again are the rules for us to win against the coronavirus. Listen to and follow the directions of your state and local authorities. If you feel sick, stay home. Do not go to work. Contact your medical provider. If your children are sick, keep them at home. Do not send them to school. Contact your medical provider. If someone in your household has tested positive for the coronavirus, keep the entire household at home. Do not go to work. Do not go to school. Contact your medical provider. If you are an older person, stay home and away from other people. If you are a person with a serious underlying health condition that can put you at increased risk, for example, something that impairs your lungs or your heart function or weakens your immune system, stay home and away from other people. Even if you are young or otherwise healthy, you are at risk and your activities can increase the risk for others. It is critical that you do your part to stop the spread of the coronavirus. That includes work or engage in schooling from home whenever possible. If you work in a critical infrastructure industry as defined by the Department of Homeland Security, such as healthcare services and pharmaceutical and food supply, you have a special responsibility to maintain your normal work schedule. You and your employers should follow the CDC guidance to protect your health at work. Avoid social gatherings in groups of more than 10 people. Avoid eating or drinking in bars, restaurants, and food courts. Use the drive-thru or the pickup. Avoid discretionary travel, shopping trips, and social visits. Do not, very important, do not visit nursing homes or retirement or long-term care facilities unless you are providing critical assistance. And then lastly, just practice good hygiene. Wash your hands, especially after touching any frequently used item or surface. Avoid touching your face. Sneeze or cough into a tissue or the inside of your elbow. Disinfect frequently used items and surfaces as much as possible. Those are the president's coronavirus guidelines for America. 15 days to slow the spread, and we've got 6 days left. You heard the note of optimism. The president thinks we are on the right track. The results are very, very encouraging from all the testing, all the negative testing, and all the people who are coming through. We started this as the greatest, the strongest, the most powerful nation in the world. That is exactly what we will be when we come out of it. As always, my friends, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, never give up, never give in, follow the president's guidelines. And as always, stay frosty. God bless you all.